Absolutely. With our special guest this hour, Lorne Kullman, we're going to take your phone calls with him. And if you go up to coasttocoastam.com in the news, we've got another link to a cryptid in Oregon. We'll talk with Lorne about that, too, and take your calls when we come right back on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you. Lorne Kullman, we'll take your phone calls. Lorne, there's a creature running around in Oregon. Are you on top of that one by any chance?
Yeah, the McKenzie River one?
Yes, that's it.
Yes. Well, it looks like in a couple of years ago, people were doing a fishing video for a commercial venture. And while they were filming one of the people in the middle of the river, over on the bank, that they see something there. And so the people that are actually filming the video at the time never saw this Bigfoot-like creature. But we're getting different kinds of analysis out of that, that it may be shadows, it may be somebody that is another fisherman. And I've been talking about it on Crypto Mundo since September 1st. And we have many, many people that are you know, disputing whether or not it's really our kind of our folk analyst, so to speak, which are saying that the other guy and they see a hat on the person and different things like that. So it's still up in the air. I think we need more analysis with the original footage, and we're going to get closer to that. But, you know, it is interesting, and it always is nice to see something like that where somebody's not coming forth trying to promote it and making a lot of money, but kind of these accidental discoveries. Sometimes we get more information from them.
What's woo-woo?
Woo-woo. Now, do you remember our old friend Ivan Sanderson, the famous naturalist and author and cryptozoologist? He died in the 70s, but he actually had a farm in New Jersey. In June of 1965, on his farm, which was in the northwest quadrant of New Jersey, there's a very famous geological feature there called the Great Valley, and that valley actually extends from the Hudson River all the way southwest down to the state of Alabama. And he and some associates were unloading their station wagon, and all of a sudden down that valley came this gigantic bird going woo, 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 and just this gigantic sound that grew louder and louder. All of the birds, frogs, all the nearby wildlife became extremely silent. And he tracked that sound and also found out from his neighbors that they were seeing the sound, hearing the sound too. And this was hooked up with a Mel Rose, who had a sighting of a giant bird in 75, which also made the sound woo, woo, woo. And he saw this creature actually so close that its flapping wings taking off from near his house sucked up a whole bush from the ground in front of the guy. And that was 10 years after Sanderson's sighting and hearing of this. So this thunderbird-like creature has really been sighted many times up and down the Appalachians. A lot of the Bald Knob Mountains have the Thunderbird sightings there. And so the woo, 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 the local woo, woo, seems to be a local name for these Thunderbird kind of creatures in the New Jersey area anyway.
All right, let's go back to the phones now. Brandon in Detroit, Michigan, east of the Rockies, you're up with us. Hi, Brandon.
Hi, George. Hi, Lauren.
Great.
Hello. I wanted to ask you about what you thought the what you thought about the trickster cosmic joker theory is. I've heard Jerome Clark and John Keel talk about it, where they kind of tie in all the paranormal things like UFOs and ghosts and stuff and say that it's basically all the same thing and it's a force out to just mess with human beings. And a lot of people that follow that theory are kind of like grouping Bigfoot up into that category now as well. I was wondering what you thought about that and if there are any cryptids out there that you might kind of group into that category.
The cosmic trickster, just so that people understand, that's sort of John Keel's idea that some of these entities sort of pop in and are playing tricks on all of us, almost as if they're really part of the of what they really are here for, is to fool people and are giving incorrect messages. In other words, what time is it, or what they're doing, or how they're leaving, those kinds of information around are disinformation. I don't really see cryptids as being part of that whole phenomena. I think, once again, it's the humans interpreting the cryptids may be putting them in the cosmic jokester category, but I don't really see the connection.
Okay, thank you.
All right, Brendan, sure. Thank you. Let's go to another Brendan in Oregon, west of the Rockies. Hey, Brendan, go ahead.
Hey, good to talk to you guys.
You too.
I have a story I have for you. This is 100% true. So I was driving along the Columbia River in Washington on the Washington 14 with my girlfriend. This was at night, probably about 9 months ago. And, we're coming around this dark corner, and all of a sudden I saw these, like, kind of look like a big deer or had a horse-like body. And I saw the hood, so I figured it was just a deer running across the road. And then all of a sudden I saw, like, a stereotypical devil-like tail. And it first started going across the road, and then it turned and went straight down the road. And I saw the feet lift off of the road, and I saw these, like, dark suede-like wings flap probably about three times, and then it disappeared into the trees. And my girlfriend witnessed it, and I couldn't believe what happened. And so what I did is I was telling one of my best friends about it, and he went and Googled the things that I told him, and a picture of the Jersey Devil popped up. And I was like, yeah. Wow, that was a lot, like, to what I saw. And I thought it was pretty crazy.
Well, it's a great sighting. I mean, it would be wonderful to know if, you know, you could have found tracks afterwards, or obviously people always forget to take a camera out and take a picture of it, but it's a great sighting, and I think you had a wonderful experience.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Well, great. Great. Thanks for that story. What's new with Thunderbirds and those kinds of sightings, Lauren?
Well, I think there's still a lot of big activity going on in the southwest part of Pennsylvania. We, for many years, are getting these reports out of there. People seeing them, saying that they're, actually still devastating some of the livestock there. And we haven't heard a lot of reports from Alaska like we were getting a few years ago, so... But, the Thunderbirds are still around, and, of course, all the folks in Appalachia know that they're there.
These creatures, remember the story we were talking about where they came down and grabbed the little boy and flew
Marlo
off?
Marlo Lowe.
Yeah.
Lawndale, Illinois, 1977, April. Yep. He's grown up, and he's still telling a story. It was a recent documentary on TV a couple years ago where they went back and interviewed him. He's grown up, and he's had a lot of problems with people not believing him, but he still sticks by his story. My brother, who was one of the first researchers there, Jerry Coleman, actually interviewed Marlo and was interviewed on that program too. And so... Those people are still sticking to that they really saw what they saw, and they were lifted up. And there were 7-8 witnesses that day, and I think people oftentimes forget and think that it was just a kid telling the story. But there was a whole family was outside their home watching this incident occur.
Next up, let's go to Kirk in Glendale, California. First-time caller. Hi, Kirk.
Oh, hello, George. Hello, Lauren.
Hi.
Hello there.
I have a question, though. I understand in the world of anthropology, there's still something that's called the missing link, that they're in the evolution of man, that there's still a link that's missing that they don't know about. I'm just wondering if Bigfoot could possibly be that missing link, or would there be no connection?
Well, I think that missing links was a very useful term in the beginning of anthropology, but now we know it's really a tapestry. There's a whole tapestry of individuals of different forms of human-like creatures, ape-like creatures, missing links. I certainly think that if we found Bigfoot, Yeti, Orange, Pindek, any of these creatures, it would certainly shake up anthropology. And indeed, whenever we found the hobbits in 2003, the editor of Nature magazine said that because of the finding of Homo forensis, the cryptozoology can come in from the cold. And it's the beginning of the shaking up of the whole field, because any of these larger primates, these great apes that are going to be found, are going to be promoted as a missing link type of answer.
Okay.
But the thing is that they're still existing.
Okay. One real quick question. You called it, though, one term you use, a Gigantopithecus, and the other one I didn't get, the Paranthropus, or what was it?
Yeah, that's Paranthropus, exactly right. P-A-R-A-N-T-H-R-O-P-U-S, Paranthropus.
Okay, got it. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Sure.
How upset would you be, Lauren, if somebody did find Bigfoot, but they shot him?
Well, I think that would be very unfortunate, but it's what humans do. I mean, my whole theory is that someday we'll find Bigfoot because a lumber truck will hit it. But I'm hoping that people will shoot it with a dart gun and capture one alive, and I think that would be the best scenario.
Stafford, Texas. Tom's east of the Rockies. Hey, Tom, thanks for calling.
Oh, you're welcome. Hey, guys.
Hi.
Just two quick things. I was telling your call screener one thing, but I want to ask you just a lighter question to the author. I lived in Rahway, New Jersey. I went to high school there, and did he know that there's a bar in there in Rahway, New Jersey, called the Jersey Devil Inn? I'm serious. It's been there for years.
Yeah. The use of the term throughout the state is
it's huge, isn't it?
Yeah. Sure.
And one more thing is, I've for years and years, there's things that are like I call mysteries: Bigfoot, Kennedy assassinations, about what really happened, and all UFOs, everything. Do you think there's people, whether it's Bigfoot or a chupacabra or any of those things, do you think there's people like want to keep it covered up, that they're trying to make, they don't want people, the nation or world believe that these things exist? They want to keep them covered up for some reason?
Well, I think there's a couple things that happen. Most of the time, the government is so bureaucratic that they may cover up things out of pure ignorance. And then I think there's another thing going on, especially with wildlife departments, where they really do support the status quo. They don't want to really consider that there's mountain lions back in the east, that there may be black panthers. We don't even need to get into Bigfoot, lizard men, or things like that. Just sort of some of the mundane animals that may actually exist in a state like New Jersey are not going to really be taken too seriously by some of the wildlife officials, because they do support no development, the lumber industry and things like that, just out of a conservative status quo kind of point of view.
What's going on with your International Crypto Museum?
The International Cryptozoology Museum, which opened last November, has just been really successful. It's been getting all kinds of good visitors in and good reviews. And, you know, we have all kinds of exhibits that have samples of hair samples from Yeti, from the Hillary expeditions. It's really my 50-year collection. I had one of the docents actually count every item in the museum, and even though it's in a relatively modest space because of the economy, we didn't want to expand too quickly. We have over 1,623 individual items in the museum, so it's a quite an exciting adventure. And really a culmination of cryptozoology having some. It's the only cryptozoology museum in the world, and we finally are having some place where, instead of people throwing away their files or parents destroying the files or, you know, landlords, or actually I also discovered a lot of these reality TV programs, they throw away their props at the end of the season, and I've been asking them to donate them to their local museums or my museum, because we need to preserve this as history. Some of this stuff is very important.
What's the media doing? Are they reacting well to this, to the museum?
Oh, yes. You know, we show up in the local newspaper. We've been called, we won the prize for Yankee Magazine, gave us the Quirky Museum of Award for the summer. We were called the best museum in Portland for 2009 by the Phoenix. We're in the in-flight magazine for an airline last month. It's become one of the top spots in Portland, Maine to visit. It's seen as a very kid-friendly, intellectually friendly place for people of all ages, and the media has been totally positive. There's nothing at all. Nobody's making fun of it. It's not a ridicule factor at all. It's just seen as a wonderful kind of place to come and expand your mind and be, entertained as well.
Super. West of the Rockies, Jonathan in Oildale, California. Hi, Jonathan.
Hey, George, how you doing?
Okay.
Lauren, how you doing?
Okay, great.
Well, this is fantastic. I got a scripture, I got a story, and I got a surprise. George, some time ago, you remember I called about that floating star that snaked down and then just disappeared after I heard that little voice.
Yes.
Don't worry, I don't have to see a doctor, but it really happened. But this you will not believe. First of all, the scripture is Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 10 through 14. Please remember that, Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 10 through 14. And when you read it, you'll know why I gave it to you as a scriptural warning. Two, here's the story. I had a problem I could not deal with even to have the police handle because I had it for a lack of evidence. And I prayed and prayed and prayed because I thought somebody was hurting a little girl next to our home. You know what I mean? It was very scary to me, and I prayed and prayed. And guess what happened? All of a sudden, just 5 minutes before it showed up in my kitchen, standing in our doorway where I sleep just outside on a couch, this what would appear to be a Mothman with very powerful red eyes, but closed almost so it didn't light up the room, which now I think prayerfully, in Jesus' name, might have been a seraphim, appeared, and it said, Brother Jonathan, fear the Lord, stay in the Word of God, keep praying, let the law handle it, and be ready to meet Holy Jesus, and it was gone. Now, hold on, it gets better. After all that, and it was gone, and I calmed down, for a couple of days, I just went out of the house and tried to put it out of my head, because I thought I was delusioning. Too much coast to coast, right? No, I'm kidding. Anyway, on our outside wall was a 10-inch, three-claw scratch on our house, and it had MMMM or something like that. So I don't know if it was Mothman, as what people call it, but it's actually a seraphim, but I have physical evidence. And that I've taken pictures of it, so if I can ever upload it to you, I will.
Please, I'd love to see it.
Yeah, and here's the surprise. I finally finished that story I told you about, Bigfoot, No Hiding Now, and I'm getting it to a very popular director in time, Bigfoot, No Hiding Now, and I won't mention the director's name out of respect for him, but when it comes out, you'll know. And just so you know, I'm pro-Bigfoot. I hope nobody ever shoots one. I agree with Lauren, because if they're part human, they have a soul, and that would be murder. And I hope this movie would inspire people to jack the fine up to $250,000 for anyone who even shoots at a Bigfoot. That's unprovoked. It's just not right.
All right, Jonathan, we're ready for you. Super. And we're going to be ready with more of your calls when we come back in just a moment with Lauren Coleman right here on Coast to Coast AM. We'll be right back. Floating format tonight, so next hour, Craig Hewlett joins us as we talk about the government's new right to track every move you make. But when we come back, let's take final phone calls with Lauren Coleman, cryptozoologist on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. Lauren, you've been quoted a great deal throughout the spring and summer in various media outlets about the Oriental Yeti reports. What is that?
Well, right in the beginning of the spring, we had reports that a Yeti had been captured over in Asia, and they called it the Oriental Yeti. It turned out to be nothing more than a civet, which is an animal that's related to the foxes and the weasels and different things like that. It was without hair. It had mange on it. So it very much duplicated those reports that we'd seen over in the United States of chupacabras that were mangy coyotes and things like that. And so they were reporting, on my understanding of that. And it was quite obvious in the pictures that were being shown at the Asian market that that was only a civet. But, of course, people want to have unexplained things in the newspaper as much as possible. So that's why it came out.
Okay, let's go back to some of the calls. We'll go to Claudia in Petaluma, California, on the wild card line. Hi, Claudia.
Hi, gentlemen. I saw a movie almost 22 years ago, I think, and to this day, I cannot sleep with my window open. It was apparently a documentary called The Creature from the Okeechobee Swamp, or a swamp similar to that name. Very briefly, creature gets sighted. Townsmen decide to go and hunt for it. One of the families that lives in a trailer near a meadow, near a big forest or treed area, they go off, and the rest of the story deals with the mom at home watching TV with the kids. Dog starts howling and then runs to the door, tries to get in.
Was this the legend of Boggy Creek?
Possibly.
1972 it came out.
Yeah, but the scariest part is one of the kids goes to the bathroom. The trailer window above his head is open, and the kid is there, and you get the viewpoint of the creature looking in through a lot of this, and then all of a sudden you see this hairy hand coming in, feeling around, almost ready to touch the kid's head. He drops the toilet paper, bends down, sees this big shadow, and as he's looking back, the hand pulls away, and I tell you, that just scared the bejeebers out of me. And I just came back from Montana, Big Sky, out on a ranch, and my husband wanted the windows open, and I said, no way, you know. It's like, anyway, that movie made quite an impression, but apparently it was a documentary, but stylized. And did you see it?
It's a docudrama. It's based upon...
It's got to be the one we're talking about, Lauren.
Yeah,
right?
Oh, yeah. That's the bathroom scene is in there and everything. That's the Legend of Boggy Creek.
Right.
Definitely. Yeah. Oh, that's definitely the film. But it's a fictionalized, dramatized, overly sensationalized version of what happened down there. People were confronted by it. It didn't attack somebody in a, you know, outhouse or anything like that, but it certainly scared a lot of people, and is famous in that area for that.
He borrowed $100,000 for it. It's generated $20 million in sales so far.
Exactly. And because of the emotional impact it has, like with that woman, it actually, the positive part of it is many researchers in the Bigfoot area got into the field because of that movie.
Absolutely. And the guy who created it, Charles Pierce, just died a few months ago.
Yeah, he just recently died.
Okay, back to the calls we go. Let's go to Aden Baca in El Paso, Texas. Hi there, first-time caller.
Yes, I am a first-time caller. Great to be on.
Thanks.
A long-time listener, but I do have a story about a Thunderbird here in El Paso, Texas. Actually.
Sure. I'd love to hear it.
Great, yes. I was actually with a bunch of my friends in my backyard, and, of course, it's a desert over here, so it was a desert still night. No wind in the air at all. And we were all there in the backyard, and all of a sudden, this black figure kind of floats up right above us by my fence in my backyard, and kind of an imperceptible motion. It looked like wings. It looked like a wingspan, like maybe a 10-foot wingspan. And so it was basically just floating there in still night air, and all of us were confused. All of us were saying, like, what is that? What is it? Very confused. I tried looking to see if there was a face, and when I did look at the face, I can sort of see, like, red eyes, but I couldn't really tell. I couldn't make out any distinct features. And then slowly, little by little, the creature just kind of, like, started flapping away. Of course, imperceptibly flapping, but it was flapping away and just kind of disappeared off into the distance. But I was actually curious to see if there was any other stories that you might have heard about the El Paso area, because I do know that there are some oral stories that have been passed down about Thunderbirds, and there's even a high school over here that does have Thunderbird as a mascot. So.
All right, anything going on in Texas, Lauren?
Oh, yeah, I've written about those stories. That's the real grand big bird stories. I've written about those since the 60s.
What are they?
There's two things going on. One, giant birds that look like condors, and there's also these more leathery big things that look like giant bats. So there's a combination of, but in general, both of them are called big birds, but they seem to almost be like pterodactyls or giant bats, as well as the thunderbirds down there.
Mike is in Bardstown, Kentucky on the wild card line. Hey, Mike, thanks for calling.
Hey, George. Hey, Lauren.
Hey, Lauren.
I grew up here in, like, you know, rural Kentucky, and I watch, I'm sure you all have too, the Bigfoot hunts you know, they have the shows where people go out.
Mm-hmm.
And they totally go against hunting. I mean, I'm not saying go out and hunt Bigfoot, but, you know, if they used actual hunting and tracking instead of, like, riding four-wheelers out and blasting, you know, chip calls and having lights and flash cameras. I mean, nothing with a, you know, even deer wouldn't hang out to see what was going on.
I totally agree with you. I think that all of those dramatic documentaries where they take 3 days or a half a day to look for Bigfoot are doing it absolutely without any woodcraft, you know, knowledge. They don't know what they're doing. They aren't hunters. It's all for TV.
Who would you say, Lorne, in your opinion, has been, dead or alive, the best Bigfoot hunter out there?
You know, I actually think that if you take somebody like Jane Goodall
mm-hmm.
or Diane Fossey, one thing that people are really missing is that Leakey really said that women should go into the field to study giant apes, the great apes. And I've always recommended that I think women in the field and some of the women that have gone in the field and spent a little time there are probably the best Bigfoot hunters. You don't go tramping around with your gun and your camera, you know.
Would you bring a gun for protection, though?
I don't think it's necessary. I think that the only thing you need to protect yourself from are other humans.
Well, I was going to say, I might bring it just to fight myself
right,
some wacko out there.
Right, exactly. I mean, but in general, the other big mistake that I hear people doing is they're taking their dogs. You know, you don't take your four-wheelers, you don't take your loud noises, you don't take your perfumes into the woods. And so a lot of those mistakes are being made. And those people are really, it's more a Bigfoot social thing than it is Bigfoot hunting. And that kind of stuff has really got to turn around.
And you think women researchers are what, a little more delicate?
No. I think that the pheromones being put out by human males are really scaring away the Bigfoot.
Really?
And yeah.
That's interesting.
Yes.
All right.
Yeah.
Let's go to Charlotte, North Carolina. Tim's turn on Coast to Coast. Hey, Tim. Thanks for calling.
Hey, Tim, George, I really appreciated your show as of late, and I listen to it all the time whenever I can. And, Lauren, I just got back from Iraq, and I just want to put a spin on something that you guys have been talking about. Let's say that these creatures that we're looking at, like the Jersey Devil, the Mothman prophecies and things like that, let's say that they're actually supernatural beings. And you can take it from where it will, alien, supernatural beings, or what have you, and that from time to time, we actually cross into their paradigm, into their, you know what I'm talking about, into the alternate universe. Because to me, it seems like whenever people go out to hunt for them, there are signs, but there's never been a confirmation. Now, Bigfoot, there has certainly been a confirmation, and interrupt me if I'm talking too much, but I really believe in the signs and the times that we live in, and coming up to 2012, you're going to see a lot more creatures like that coming to light, and you're going to see a lot more media bringing it to light, because I believe everything has to do with the coming of the 2012 and our new and the new paradigm of the people that's going to be coming down. Do you agree or disagree?
Interesting theory. First of all, Tim, thanks for serving. Glad you're back, by the way.
Yes.
Go ahead, Lauren. What do you think? 2012. You ever tie that into any of this research?
No, I think there's all kinds of room for all these people to believe what they want, but I think it really is irrelevant to the zoological approach to looking for these creatures.
You're like a really biologist, good. Like a real scientist, you know.
Yeah, what are you going to do? Yeah, keep coming up with new animals. That's what comes out of it. I think it's fine if people want to think that way. It just gets in my way for myself.
There can't be too many of these creatures out there.
No, there's not. They're very rare. They're intelligent.
They keep out of the way of humans. There's lots and lots of humans, but it takes a human and a creature to have a sighting. And so whenever that does happen, it occurs. But with regard to, all of this other stuff, maybe we're the ones that are trespassing on their territory.
Maybe. Why haven't they died off naturally?
Well, some of them have. There's a lot of theories that Yeti aren't even around anymore, and what we're really looking at are the different relics over in the Himalaya and Nepal that are still from maybe 300 years ago. Some of these people have been writing about Yeti have been extinct for maybe 500 years, and we're just really kind of looking at old stuff that's left over from them, whereas Bigfoot seems to be very active and still around.
Jacksonville, Florida, east of the Rockies, Greg's turn. Greg, good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. Good morning, world.
Hi, world.
Good morning.
Well, my brother and I, we've been planning on heading out to Washington State up there and actually hunting a Sasquatch, you know, just the two of us. And we don't really want to kill one, but, you know, we don't have access to animal tranquilizers and all that stuff and how to administer them. And then, you know, if you do get one with a tranquilizer, keeping it knocked out and getting it back out of the woods. So we plan on figuring one of us will be a long-range shooter up to 1,000 yards, and the other one will be like a close support, you know, for anything close, you know, bears or anything like that. We don't really want to shoot one to kill one, but, you know, that would satisfy science.
So you really want to just catch one and bring it back?
Well, if we could, but like I said, you know, we don't have access to animal tranquilizers and stuff, so we figure just, you know, kill one, preferably a juvenile.
You don't want
to get out.
Greg, you don't want to kill one.
That satisfies science. You know, body on the slab, satisfies science.
It would satisfy science, Lorne.
Well,
sadly,
you know,
would.
Yeah, but they might accidentally kill another hunter. They might kill somebody with a ghillie suit on. They might kill somebody with a leaf camo on.
Let me
be careful.
Let me ask you this. If somebody's in the woods dressed up like Bigfoot and some hunter kills him, is it manslaughter? Probably manslaughter, I would guess. Or would he get off? He could say,
well, if they found out that it was his the woman that he was having an affair with husband,
then that's a problem.
Murder.
That's a problem.
That would be murder.
But if he got a good criminal defense attorney who said, look, he believed this was Bigfoot, and, you know, they pull out the statistics, it scared the living daylights out of him, and he shot it. He shouldn't have, but he was trying to, but he thought he had to protect himself. I bet he'd get off.
I don't think he would. No. I'd think 5 years, 5 to 10 years in jail for manslaughter, because that's not a, you just can't prove that defense. I mean, would it be temporary insanity? Would that get him off?
No, I would say he, you know, if a guy was dressed up like Bigfoot and he was coming at you and you believe that Bigfoot exists, I think the guy would get off. You know, it's the same thing as a guy who approaches you with a toy gun. Let's say you have a concealed weapon. Guy comes at you with a toy gun. This has happened to a lot of police officers. They pull and shoot on the guy. They don't have a choice. They can't sit there and figure out if this is real or not. They're dead if they do that. So they shoot the guy. They probably will get off. You know, cops will show up, see this gun there, and say, oh, my gosh, it's a toy gun. But the guy said, how did I know? I think the guy would get off.
I don't know, George. I don't know.
It's weird.
I think you should have a bunch of lawyers on it.
Yeah, we got to debate that one. It could happen that way. You know that.
Yeah, it probably would be a gorilla suit, though, because the Bigfoot suits are pretty expensive.
Unless those guys down in Arkansas buy it again, or wherever they were from.
Yeah, exactly.
But Steve in Tulsa, Oklahoma, on the wild card line. Hey, Stephen, go ahead. You with us? Stephen? Nope, he's gone. But Jim in Lafayette, Ohio, maybe you're there. Hey, Jim, go ahead.
Yes, I'm here.
Okay.
Yeah, I got a little theory. What if a lot of these creatures that people have spotted or maybe government experiments that have gotten loose.
Like the island of Dr. Moreau.
Yes. And
lots of experiments. That would be a lot of experiments.
I think, based on Lauren's experience, that he believes, I'm not putting words in your mouth, that these creatures are from this planet, It's a natural occurrence. They've been around for a long, long time. They're scattered throughout this planet. There are not a lot of them, but they are pretty close to human-like, more so than animal-like. How was that, Lauren? Pretty close?
Pretty close, especially if we're talking about Bigfoot.
Yep.
But the thing is that, of course, most of the sightings and most of the cases, 80% are misidentifications, mistakes, simple, you know, misunderstandings of natural world. Because you go into the woods, you see a bear, you see the hind end of a moose going away from you, and people more often than not will say that's something other than what it is. And it's the 20% of the unknowns that are what I think are unknown animals that may give us information about new animals. But all of these other different theories and different explanations, I really steer away from them. Like I said before, you don't explain one unknown with another unknown.
I guess it's a little disjarring if you see a creature like this walk past you at night, across the road,
sure.
look back. I mean, it's got to be eerie, no doubt.
Oh, yeah, sure.
No doubt at all. And what's the closest you've ever come to seeing Bigfoot, if at all?
No, I've found tracks. I've heard screeches in Illinois and different parts of the South. At one time, I was returning from a job in Southern Illinois that was unrelated. It was more academic related. And I actually, with a group of six people, saw a mysterious black panther crossing the road near Anna, Illinois. But none of those other people were interested in cryptozoology, so that I couldn't convince them to turn around and look for prints or anything like that. And it was the closest experience I've had of what usually happens with an eyewitness. Nobody believes you. It's a momentary, quick sighting, and then you are left with nothing but memories.
Our special guest tonight, Lauren Coleman, Monsters of New Jersey. He is and always will be a great guest here on Coast to Coast AM. Lauren, thanks. Up next, Craig Hewlett joins us. Is the government trying to track every move you make? Let's find out on Coast to Coast AM.